NBA season is in full swing. Now we take a look at everything Sixers. This is Sixers in 60.
Sixers in 60.
With Joe DeCamera and Devon Gibbons. Exclusively on your home for Philadelphia 76ers basketball. 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it is 76ers in 60. Sixers on 60 on The Fanatic. Joe DeCamera, Devon Gibbons. Just following up on a prior 60 where people are fired up, man. Both sides, every side. People are going nuts. I love it. Trade deadline tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Obviously, the 76ers approach to team building has been particularly unique, very controversial. And as we sit here on the precipice in 20 hours of a trade deadline, everyone knows that, you know, theoretically some big movement can happen in the next 20 hours. It's intriguing. We're talking about it. People want to know what the future of the Sixers should look like, will look like. And, man, Devon, you heard last hour, people coming from both sides fired up. I mean, we turn to you, Devon, to you as like you're a wise dude. Try to make some sense of it. I know I'm right. I know everyone coming after me is wrong, and that's fine. They're all entitled to be wrong. But make some sense of the last 60 minutes you heard, and make some sense of the future of the 76ers.
Well, that last 60 minutes was pretty good, because at first to start off, everyone was pretty much agreeing with you. Yeah, let's stick with the Hinkie plan. Right. No need for Colangelo to come in and touch anything with the 76ers. Hinkie did it right. That last 20, they were coming at you. And just so people know, when the whole thing went down in the very beginning, 2.5 years ago,
yep.
I said to you, I didn't like it. Yep. I understood it. I didn't necessarily like it. I will give it time to happen and see what takes place. 2.5 years in, I still don't like it. I still understand it. This is the last straw for me. And do I want Jerry Colangelo to have a lot to say? I do. Because I know with his pedigree that he's a basketball man. Now, maybe things in the past haven't necessarily shaped out the way that we want to say, let's go back to this particular trade that he made and it turned out to be great. But look, I look at the relationships that he has in the NBA, the relationships that have been shattered, or at least the reports have said that Sam Hinkie's relationships with a lot of people, agents, players, executives, that have been shattered. The 76ers need those relationships to be mended in order to do exactly what you and the other callers were talking about, and that's get good, to be good over the next few seasons and have it happen fast. Because as you said, you've been a proponent of what he's done, but this was the last straw for you as well.
Yeah, I can't take another year.
You don't want another year.
Yeah, I don't want another year.
So what belief do you have that Sam Hinkie will make the right decisions when he does have that, now the window is there, we have the necessary money, we have the new practice facility that will be open in the fall.
Right.
And what is it that makes you believe that the basketball decision, now that the money is there, the next draft, let's say you get the number 2 pick and you don't get the number 1 pick, how do you know that Sam Hinkie will make the right decision?
Okay,
you don't know.
Let me answer that. I don't know the answer to that. I can't tell you I definitively believe Sam Hinkie is going to make the right pick at every turn or often. I mean, listen, the bottom line is anytime you got a general manager, particularly a young guy without much of a track record, it's a little bit of a leap of faith.
Sure.
I acknowledge that. I'm not saying Sam Hinkie's perfect. I'm not saying he's Red Hour back from the 60s. But what I am saying is I like the vision that he had for building this thing up by tearing it down. I think he's done a good job. I mean, for one thing, I think he did a good job of executing what he set out to do. He wanted the team to stink. They stunk. He wanted them to lose games. They lost games.
I think you and I could have done that, though.
Well, but not everyone had the... Listen, there's not many people that would have had the vision to pull off trading an all-star.
In Drew Holiday
for a player that couldn't play in year one and a future first-round pick. There are not many people that would have had the guts to make that trade.
Well, if they had the same okay from their owner, I'm not sure that they wouldn't have. They're just other owners who may not have green lighted with All Josh right. Harris green lighted for Sam Hinkie.
You're right, but what I respected and admired about Hinkie was he took a long term view, and I felt the same way about Josh Harris. They took a long term view, and this is where I get annoyed tonight. I get annoyed, you know, the reports out there that Sam Hinkie's being minimized and Colangelo's the guy. Look, I like Jerry Colangelo. I got great respect for Jerry Colangelo. But it's like, wait a minute here. Sam Hinkie, he set out on a course that he and the Sixers ownership group agreed to. He essentially was doing it and doing it the way it was supposed to be done. And then you get near the finish line of this part of the process and the rug's pulled out. And I'm like, I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Colangelo's voice isn't good to have. Not that him mending relationships with the agents isn't good. But I do have concern about Hinkie. I mean, trade deadline. Devon, who's calling the shots tomorrow?
I think Colangelo's calling the shots with the ear obviously being there for Sam Hinkie and what he has to say. Now, we don't know. I guess also, Joe, we'll find out a lot tomorrow if a trade does go down and what the terms are.
What type of trade?
And the press release that comes down and what it says. Because when you look at the Ish Smith thing and what happened, Ish Smith for 2 second-round picks. That's not what Sam Hinkie does. Sam Hinkie does Ish Smith, and I want a second-round pick, but I'll give you one. So he'll fleece them however he fleeces them and get the pick and the player. But we'll see tomorrow if something does go down. The way that the trade comes out, the way the press release says it, what it is, we'll find out exactly who called the shots.
All right, it is Sixers and 60. Devon Givens, show to camera on the Fanatic. We'll take your phone calls this hour, much like we did last hour at 610-632-0975. A couple of other issues, some that I touched on in the beginning. Devon, I want to get your thoughts. You and I, we've had this conversation both on and off air for months, and I'm feeling more and more and more entrenched with what I have felt the whole time, that Okafor and Nerlens basically can't play together. I mean, you know, can they play together and be okay? Yeah, they can play together and be okay, but I don't see a long-term fit. I don't see a short-term fit. I think they get in the way of each other. I think it's both an offensive and defensive issue. In the end, I think someone's going to have to get traded, which is part of what makes tomorrow's trade deadline intriguing. Not that I expect either to get traded tomorrow, but you never know. But just as we sit here tonight, 75% of the way through the season, do you feel that Okafor and Nerlens don't fit?
I still don't know. I still say it's unknown still, only because of the pieces around them. It's unfair to say these two can't play together, because who knows if you had a specific shooter like Klay Thompson on the outside that would make it that much easier for those two to work with a legitimate point guard. So I don't know. I don't know. It's still up in the air. And then, of course, you have the fact that why would you want to make a move like that, not knowing what Joel Embiid is or isn't going to give you.
Right.
So you have to be careful. If Joel Embiid can't figure it out, or if they can't figure out what's the problem with his foot, we still don't know what's going on with the back, because you don't hear about the back anymore, then I think it would be a little premature to move one without knowing what the status is of Joel Embiid.
All right, let's deal with the draft coming up and the ping pong balls. Everyone always wants to know, okay, where do the Sixers stand? So the Sixers right now have the worst record in the NBA. Now, they might jump past the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll see if they do or don't. But as of right now, the Sixers have the worst record, which means they have the highest probability of the number one pick. Sixers on their own accord have a 25% chance of the number one pick, which everyone knows is going to be Ben Simmons. They also have the right to swap picks with the Sacramento Kings if the Kings pick after the ping pong ball process turns out to be a better pick than the Sixers pick, which means any chance the Kings have of landing the number one pick automatically goes to the 76ers. Kings right now have the 9th worst record in basketball. They've lost 8 of their last 10 after being actually in the playoffs, so to speak, at the number 8 spot just a couple weeks ago. They've plummeted now down to the 9th worst record in all of basketball. It's not a high percentage. It's only 1.7% chance for the Kings to get the number one pick, which means the Sixers have a 25% chance plus a 1.7% chance. Sixers spot right now to land Ben Simmons is at 26.7%. The Kings could go down a little bit, which would increase the Sixers' probability, or they could go up, which would decrease the probability. But Sixers in all likelihood will be somewhere between a 20 to 30% shot of Simmons. Ben Simmons, Devon, for those that haven't heard you talk about him, how legit?
I still think he's legit. The concerns are there with the shooting, with the free throw shooting, with the outside shooting. You still don't know. But that's something, again, that you can figure out. I believe you can figure that out on the NBA level, where there's time in the gym to get those shots up and get it done. And instead of, you know, I'm not ignoring class, because you have to go to class while you're in college, but now you have the shot to just strictly focus on basketball and the negatives, the weaknesses that he has, to work on those. He's a multi-talented player. He can do a lot of different things, and I think he's still the number one pick. A lot of people are concerned with those things that we've talked about, the weaknesses, yep, with the shooting, the lack of shooting, and the free throw shooting, the outside shooting, all that stuff. The whole thing is the shooting, but everything else he can do. And again, if he has the time on the NBA level and the proper training that he's going to have, I believe he'll get better at that. Now, I know you talk about what position is he going to be. I still think he's a small forward, because – you're able to use him in so many different ways at the small forward position, and I know you champion a lot that he can be a point guard. You can have him at that small forward.
I think
that,
maybe. That, I don't know, right. But I think there's something to strongly consider about point guard.
And that point forward position is something right. that is done a lot in the NBA. Draymond Green, you reference LeBron James. We talk about Andre Iguodala. Lamar Odom has done it in the past. Even Tony Kukoc, Scottie Pippen, they've done it. So it's not something that's not done. But, again, the pieces around make it that much better, make him that much better if he is running the point a lot of the time.
Sixers have a shot of a second pick in the top five. Obviously, it would have to be a pick four or five from the Lakers to bring people up to speed on where that one stands. The Lakers right now have the second worst record in basketball, which means that the Lakers, the Lakers have a 31.9% chance of the fourth pick. And they have a 12.3% chance of the fifth pick, which means the 76ers, as of right now, if the Lakers don't go up, don't go down, if they stay right there at the two spot, the Sixers right now have a 44.2% chance of getting the fourth or fifth pick in the draft from the Lakers. A 44.2% chance. Very real, slightly under 50, but close to 50-50. If the Sixers get the fourth or fifth pick via the Lakers this year, Devon, what players are you targeting there? I mean, you're looking for backcourt help.
Yes.
Who are we talking about?
I'm still looking at Chris Dunn, although he could go number three. He could go in the top three, point guard from Providence. Buddy Hield is the shooting guard from Oklahoma. Of course, he's maybe the player of the year in college. He's moving up the draft boards a little bit, so maybe you also target that. So right there, you're talking about a 6'3 point guard and a 6'4 shooting guard. And those are two players that I would target at four and five. With Ben Simmons at number one, of course.
And if they get Ingram at two?
If they get Ingram at two, I'm fine with it. Obviously, you want number one because this is the whole thing we're talking about. The whole goal and the whole plan for Sam Hinkie, which he has not done, is get the number one pick. He has not gotten the number one pick. And again, we talk about it. There's a lot of luck into this, and he has not really gotten lucky. And you can also go back to the unlucky part or maybe luck. You don't like Andrew Wiggins as much as many other people. Joel Embiid fell to three. If he turns out to be who we think he was supposed to be before the injury, then the luck was on his side, even though you lost the games over the first 2 years that he did not play. But the luck is on his side to get the best player. But if it doesn't, again, you're unlucky not getting the top player in that draft. And at the time, you wanted that number one pick.
Of course you wanted
that. You wanted Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's a lot of luck into it. You have to get luck. You have to get number one this time.
No.
Because, again, you don't want to go through another year. You have
no,
to.
No, but I don't think they will. Even if they get two or three, I don't think they're going through another
year. And I like Brandon Ingram, but the whole deal is to get Ben Simmons.
I get it. All right, we'll get to the call. 610-632-0975. Also this hour, and we're going to do it at 7:30 tonight, we're going to give away a trip for you to go on the road with the 76ers. To a Sixers game versus the Charlotte Hornets on March the 8th. This trip, let me say this. We're going to qualify someone for the trip. We do this every night when we do a Sixers in 60 show on the Fanatic. We've had five or six of these type of shows. So we're going to have five or six qualifiers when all is said and done. Prior to the March 8th game, we will randomly select from those that have qualified one winner for a trip for two. Courtesy of Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer, where no purchase is necessary, for you to enjoy, you and a friend, to enjoy hotel accommodation, tickets to the game, and to fly on the team plane. That's for the March 8th game versus the Charlotte Hornets. So very cool. We'll give that away tonight at 7:30. Let's go to the phone, 610-632-0975. I might need to strap on body armor considering where some of the phone calls were late in last hour.
I believe so.
But that's okay. I'm ready for it. Come armed. You can be positive. You can be negative. And we know there are many people on both sides of this equation. Chris on a cell phone. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on?
Chris, what's up, dude?
Good night. Listen, I think this is going to make for a good 30 for 30. If this all go right, this would be a nice 30 for 30.
Agreed.
Think so?
Well, I think if it goes right or wrong. I mean, I can see it. I can see it now. 15 years from now, it's going to start out, how does it start out? What if I told you a team didn't try to win for three consecutive years?
All right, my second point is, I think if we don't get Ben Simmons, I think this whole thing was for nothing. It's going to be a little while. If we don't get the number one or number two pick, it's going to be bad. It's going to be real bad.
So, Chris, you're okay with the number two pick, though? You're okay with Brandon Ingram and whoever you decide to take at two?
I'm okay. It's either Ben Simmons number one or Ingram number two. But if we don't get either one, then we're going to have to tank again.
Yeah, well, I won't tank again, but I'll say this, Chris. It would hurt. I mean, to me, you get picked two, you're still in pretty darn good shape. Even if you get picked three, then it comes back to Embiid. And that's where... Devon and Chris, thanks for the call. So much of this does come back to Embiid because he really is such a swing factor between, you don't have nearly as much as you want and, oh, man, like, wow, this thing's moving forward.
Right, and you talk about the logjam with the two centers, with Okafor and Embiid Okafor and Noel, and if they can play together, then if you do bring in Ben Simmons and he plays power forward, if he doesn't play small forward, then you have four bigs that you have to decide what to do. And if you're talking about a trade partner, the trade partner is going to say, hey, you have to give up one of these players. They're not going to be happy. I'm going to lowball you right now.
Let me ask you a question. It's not a trade that's possible, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Would you trade Jahlil Okafor for a guarantee that Joel Embiid has a healthy career?
Keeping Nerlens and what happens with the...
Just whatever
right
else.
Now.
It's not a real trade. You can't trade Jahlil Okafor for this. But I'm just asking you. If I told you Jahlil Okafor is subtracted for the guarantee that Joel Embiid has a healthy career, are you doing that?
Yes. Because I think Joel Embiid is ultimately going to be the best one of all of them.
He's the guy, right?
Yes.
I agree with you.
Yes.
Let's go to Mike on a cell phone. That's when you know we're really stretching the conversation.
Big time.
Mike, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, how are you? You know, I just have a weird feeling that the NBA is going to fix the lottery like it did in 85 with the Knicks. I just got a weird feeling with Kobe going out, the Lakers are going to get the first pick and they're going to get Simmons. Just a hunch that I have. You know,
it would hurt. It would hurt. Lakers right now have a 19.9% chance of the first pick.
For some reason, I just really feel that. As far as Hinkie, I agreed for like the first year and maybe the second year, but how many years can you continue to go into the tank? And the problem is, you don't know if Sarge is going to come over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't know if Embiid's ever going to play. And with the Sixers' big men history, it's catastrophic with big men.
Yeah.
He's so talented. That's great. And I love how they miraculously show them every time Brett Brown's getting interviewed, Embiid throwing dunks down in the background. I don't care about that. With a guy that size and he's still growing, he's going to have so much pressure on that foot. It's just scary. I hope to God it works out because that kid has got so much ability. It's sick.
He's definitely the key. And the whole thing is you're tired of waiting. You're tired of waiting for Dario Saric to decide if he's going to come over, see what happens there. And, of course, Joel Embiid, because you feel like he's the big prize. So you don't want to wait anymore, and that's the whole thing. And I know you talk about the worry, and, of course, John was just worried about the Lakers getting a pick. The one thing about the Sixers with, 28 games remaining in the season, I believe that, Joe, as bad as the roster is, and even with the Lakers roster being bad, the way the playoffs are now set up with the top eight teams, not necessarily the division winner slotted for those top four picks, I think a lot of it is going to come into play down the stretch where teams are going to be geared to go out and hammer the teams that are not on their level. They're going to take care of their business.
Just as long as they hammer the Sixers.
And that's my point. Because you're worried about... And listen, I understand the West is tougher.
Right.
And the Lakers have been playing bad, and we know that.
I don't know if the West is tougher.
Well, but the West is tough, and of course... All right, well,
fine. Top of the West is tougher, but the middle and bottom of the West is not.
But they're all fighting for those spots.
Right,
and
true.
The Lakers are not, in the same way the Sixers are not. Those teams are going to try to come out and handle their business. So that's why I don't think you really have to worry that much. The Sixers, they're going to come out and play hard. They're going to give that effort because Brett Brown's going to coach them up. The players are going to play hard. But they aren't on the level of those players, especially with those playoff position being so, so key now with how the playoff seedings are. They can't afford to lose games that they can't afford to lose against those bad teams.
Sixers have 8 wins. The Lakers have 11. There's 29 games left. If I had to put my money down, I'm saying the Sixers probably pass the Lakers.
Mm.
Agree or disagree? Sounds like
I
you disagree.
I still say no.
Okay.
I hope
you're right.
Yeah, and I know the farewell tour with Kobe and everything gets kind of in the way, but I still don't think that they passed them.
Come on, Kobe deserves a couple foul calls down the stretch.
Oh, no question. He'll knock those free throws down, too.
We'll continue Sixers and 60. More up ahead next, including the giveaway of the trip for you to fly on the team plane to Charlotte for the March 8th game. Keep it here. Jetta Cameron, Devon Givens, and more of your phone calls next. Sixers and 60 on the Fanatic.
There is only one place to hear Anthony Gargano in Philadelphia. Anthony Gargano in the Fanatic Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10, exclusively on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Stop dreaming and start enjoying your new beautiful countertops today. Colonial Marble and Granite has the largest selection anywhere, and we're now offering our lowest prices ever. Get a beautiful, fully installed granite countertop for just $14.99, and get interest-free financing for 25 months with zero money down on purchases of $14.99 or more. Visit any of our four showrooms or online at colonialmarble.net.
5 equal monthly payments required. Monthly payments equal to promo purchase divided by the number of months in promo period. Subject to credit approval, see website for details.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Shofit, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of the Virtua Joint Replacement Institute, home of the quad-sparing knee replacement. With this technique, our surgeons don't cut the quadriceps tendon, so you can get back to your life. And for hip replacements, we perform the most minimally invasive procedures. Our philosophy is to manage pain and get patients on their feet the same day, so the recuperation begins even before they leave the hospital. While they are with us, our patients enjoy the comfort of private rooms, flat-screen TVs with internet access, sofa beds for their caregiver, and attentive care from our clinicians. No wonder patients at the Virtua Joint Replacement Institute consistently give us a 99% satisfaction rating. To make an appointment with one of our surgeons, call us at 855-VIRTUA3 or visit us at virtua.org. That's 855-VIRTUA3.
Bundle up and visit Toyota's Let's Go Winter event for amazing deals on some of your favorite Toyota models, like the stylish new 2016 RAV4 with available all-wheel drive, the bold Camry, or Corolla with its advanced tech features. And every new Toyota comes with ToyotaCare, our no-cost maintenance plan with roadside assistance. Visit your local dealer or buyatoyota.com today. But hurry, the Toyota Let's Go Winter event ends soon. Toyota, let's go places.
Please see dealer for details and exclusions.
I'm Westbrook here to tell you about my good friends over at Golden Nugget Jewelers. Just because I used to leave it all in the field doesn't mean you have to leave all your money at the register to get her that special engagement ring. Head on over to Golden Nugget Showroom on the corner of 8th and Chestnut to get treated like a Hall of Famer. They've got the best selection of loose diamonds, the best prices, and lifetime guarantees. But what really sets Golden Nugget apart is the family-owned, friendly atmosphere. Golden Nugget Jewelers, it's where Philly gets engaged.
Philadelphia doesn't hope for a brighter future. We create it.
Oh, yes!
Be a part of the NBA's most exciting youth movement as the Sixers introduce the league's next dominant big man, Jahlil Okafor, and pair him with defensive star Nerlens Noel and newly acquired sharpshooter Nick Stauskas as they take on the NBA's biggest stars. See our new core announce their arrival on the NBA center stage against the likes of Kobe, LeBron, and Steph Curry. Get the best seats in the house by purchasing at Sixers.com. Individual tickets are on sale now.
We are a city full of fearless. You can see it every morning along Boathouse Row, every year at the Blue Cross Broad Street Run, and at every big game in South Philly. Because we're a city that began with a sense of freedom and never looked back. And for nearly 80 years, Independence Blue Cross has supported that spirit, providing strength and security with the card most accepted by top doctors and specialists. Independence Blue Cross. Live fearless.
Be part of the action all season long at DraftKings.com, the official one-day fantasy sports partner of the Philadelphia 76ers. With daily fantasy, you don't need to spend months micromanaging a roster. Play whenever you want and pick a new team every time you play. Challenge your friends in a custom league to prove you're the superior GM or square off against basketball fans from around the country for big prizes. Go to DraftKings.com/Sixers now and enter promo code 1776 to play free. DraftKings, the official one-day fantasy sports partner of the Philadelphia 76ers. That's promo code 1776 at DraftKings.com/Sixers.
189, 59, 129, 99. What the heck are these guys talking about? These car dealer ads are ridiculous. Do you have $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 to put down? This is David Keller from David Auto. And if you're serious about buying a Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram, or one of my great used cars, just email me at david@drivedavid.com. Tell me what you, your family need, and I'll personally find you the price, the car, the payment that works for you. David@drivedavid.com.
If you've been seriously injured in an auto accident, remember this name, Lundy Law.
Call 1-800-LUNDY-LAW. Winning millions for clients in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware for over 50 years. Proud sponsor of the 76ers.
When the Sixers score 90, you win at Papa John's. The day after the Sixers score 90 or more points, you get 50% off your regular menu price online order at PapaJohns.com using promo code SIXERS. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's.
Yeah. All right, let's give away the trip right now. Or let me clarify. Yeah. Let's qualify someone to win the trip with the sixth caller on the contest line at 215-263-0975. Fifth caller contest line will be qualified as one of the finalists. We have one finalist each time we do the Sixers and 60 show to win a trip to see the 76ers on the road versus the Charlotte Hornets coming up March the 8th. This is all courtesy of Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. No purchase necessary. Sixth caller contest line, 215-263-0975. You will qualify to win the trip, which we will give out in just a couple of weeks. All right, let's go to the phones and go to Dennis in Langhorne. Jody Cameron, Devon Givens, Sixers and 60. Dennis, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing tonight?
What's up, Dan?
Hey, yeah, so Devon, I definitely agree with a lot of things you were saying. On the point here, you know, I'm so happy that Jerry is here for now, because these three potential draft picks for this year can make or break the Sixers for the next 5 to 10 years. So to have his advice and his professionalism to come in here and make help Sam out with those picks is pretty big. And also, you know, from doing my research and watching a lot of college basketball this year, you know, I got to sit down and watch a lot of Brandon Ingram and Ben Simmons. And this 1-2 pick, you know, people aren't making a big deal about, but I think it's a very crucial pick. I mean, Brandon Ingram fits perfectly into the Sixers. He's a Coach K guy. Okafor is a Coach K guy. He can face up, shoot the three like Kevin Durant. He's 6'9". He has a lot of ability. He hasn't shown it all yet either. I think when March Madness comes, you're going to see Brandon Ingram. And tonight they play North Carolina. You're going to see him break out. Tonight's a good evaluation of Brandon Ingram against North Carolina.
And Dennis, do you feel like that you like Brandon Ingram over Ben Simmons?
You said he fits
the six as well.
He's a small four right in. He can shoot. I mean, Brandon Ingram, you know, when you can't shoot, I mean, I'm not saying he can't shoot. I haven't seen him shoot. And when he's not showing that and he's going up against grown man in NBA, he's bodying up with them. He's got to create a shot outside. If he doesn't have it, he's not going to be going to the hole as easy as people think. So, you know, if LeBron James, people are comparing LeBron James to him. If LeBron James came and played in the SEC, I can tell you one thing, LeBron James would have never lost the game.
Dennis, let me tell you this, and appreciate the call. I think the fact that Brandon Ingram's on the board and that he is, you know, the likely number two pick is exciting from a Sixer standpoint, because it gives you
options.
It gives you options. It optionality.
What Sam Hinkie likes to do. And the thing is, yeah, he does shoot very well. When you look at Brandon Ingram and his length and his everything, he does need to put on the weight that we talked about. But I just still think that the clear-cut number one today in February is Ben Simmons. Now, yeah, the NBA, the guys will back off. They will dare you to shoot. They do it in college right now, and he still doesn't do it. When he's asked why not, he says, because they can't stop me from going to the basket. Well, that'll change when you get to the NBA, so you better shore up that jump shot and at least pose a threat from outside to let them know that you are at least have the ability to knock down the jumper.
You know, it's interesting. When you just referenced February and you know, clear-cut number one, 2 years in a row, the clear-cut number one guy in February either didn't end up becoming the number one guy in June or only became it because of an injury to another. Last year, this time, mid-February, Jahlil Okafor, number one pick in the draft. When all is said and done, Karl-Anthony Towns. 2 years ago, Wiggins-Parker, but more Wiggins. And by the time the draft came, it would have been Embiid if he was healthy.
Agreed.
So, for whatever it's worth,
it's February.
In 3 or 4 months, it could actually be a different story. We go to Bill on a cell phone. Bill, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How are you? Joe, I hate to, you can just sit back and relax. I mean, I'm hoping I can, I'm totally on your side, and I'm going to go on a filibuster here.
Well, you're a brilliant person. Go ahead.
Yes, I agree with you. it comes down to the simple fact I hear all these people. It comes down to this. The NBA has set it up this way. And Devon kind of hit on another thing, too. The NBA has set it up where you have power teams. It's so unbalanced. You have your superpower teams, and then you have teams that are mediocre, and they're in the playoffs because somebody has to make the playoffs. And then you just have dreads. And the dreads cannot get up to the superpowers because nobody's going to go there. They allow horrible trades every year where a superpower team gets another superpower player just to make them more of a superpower. You know, so it happens every year now. The only way you can win is through the draft. And unfortunately, like Devon said, the Sixers just haven't been lucky. The only thing with the NBA different than the other sports, even if you have the worst record, that doesn't guarantee the first pick.
Right.
You know, Cleveland got the first pick with Wiggins, and they had like a 1% chance. Now, I agree with the caller that called earlier before when he said, I think the Lakers are going to get the number one pick. I'm not worried about the number one pick because Kobe's out. It's a better market for the NBA. They're going to want Ben Simmons to go to L.A. Now, I think that's a better thing for us. Now, I'm not as big on Ingram as the last caller, but I agree with Devon. I would love to get, you know, the kid from Oklahoma, a point guard, a shooting guard. That's what we need. And like, you know, like Devon said, I think the big men, it's not that they don't play well together. You can't separate those two. It's the players around them don't know how to play, and you don't know how good they are. You can't trade. Okafor is a stud on offense, and Noel is a beast on defense. He cleans everything up. He's never going to be a scorer, but he's that role player, kind of like a Horace Grant who's 6'10", who can rebound, you know, get the offensive rebounds, putbacks, little things like that, and just own the paint.
Yeah.
And you can't trade that.
No, well, Bill, I'll tell you, I think you make a lot of really good points. And the one thing, though, I will say is, and Devon, I get your point about it's hard to know on Okafor and Nerlens until you know what else is around them. Mm-hmm. The guys that can really play.
Right.
But with that said, I feel certain that they will have a defensive deficiency with either Okafor playing the four or Nerlens playing the four.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, there's a lot of teams that have had success with the deficiency somewhere. It's not like Dirk, who won a championship, has been a great player. It's not like he's a phenomenal defensive power forward. He's not. He's a great scorer, and that has offset some defensive liabilities through the years, and you can go on down the line. James Harden's not a good defensive player. So it's like, you know, Charles Barkley wasn't a good defensive player. We can name a lot of examples. But I do feel, particularly with where the NBA has gone, with, you know, fours that can shoot and all that, that either Okafor or Nerlens having to defend fours is, I think it's not a small problem. I think it's actually a real problem.
I think it is a real problem, but you just have to worry about what else. What if you have a stud defensive small forward that can kind of take away from a lot of that stuff, because you can switch in the way sizes are with the being the small ball and the way that you have to stretch four. What if there are ways that you can manipulate the defense that way, where you can now have maybe the small forward who is the all NBA defender, where he can slide over a little bit and doesn't necessarily have to worry about that one particular guy he's guarding, and make it a little easier to help dig down, slide over, cut off lanes for that defender. And I also wanted to ask you, if you had to choose between the two players in Okafor and Noel, same team, still on the team, but they had to improve at one particular thing, which one would you think had to improve at a particular thing to make those two mesh well together?
Mm.
And that's
there's a difference between what I'd like to see them improve at and what I think they
can
improve at.
What do you believe they can?
Yeah, like for instance, my answer to you would probably be Jahlil Okafor shedding some of the sluggishness of his feet and a little bit of a lethargic defensive element that I think prevents him from being a much better player. But I'm not sure he can shed that.
But if he did, and he was able to play the four or the five, you would feel they could coexist a little better because he's a little more fleet-footed, basically.
Yeah,
he's a little more nimble, I guess you can say. He's able to move a little quicker.
Well, he's a finesse player on offense, but I just don't...
But on defense, you're right. He's like he has cement in his shoes.
Right,
yeah.
And that would be my answer. But I don't think that's very likely. I mean, it's either that or Nerlens develops an offensive game, and I don't think that's very likely either.
But I think the one that's more likely is Jahlil Okafor being able to shed that, what you're talking about. And if that's the case, that's something that they have to really pound and hammer into him in the offseason. This is what we need you to do. We cannot necessarily count on Joel Embiid. We need you and Nerlens to be able to play together. This is what we need from you.
Right.
They all do it.
Let me ask you a question.
Do they not? Do they not all do that when you have the?
Oh yeah, that's what they should be doing.
You have exit interviews, and they tell you what you want in the offseason.
Yep.
Right.
Let me ask you this: how uncomfortable do you think it is for those guys knowing that, like, you and I are doing a show right now?
Right.
Now, what if we knew in 6 months when someone gets healthy that management really wants to come in here, tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, Joe, Devon, thanks for the effort, but you're out. Sure. The other guy's in because he's better and he's healthy now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's got to be kind of weird for Okafor and Nerlens, right?
It is. It is.
I mean, how could it not be?
It's human nature. And this is what we talk about. At some point, if he does come back, those two knowing what could possibly happen, somebody's going to say, I don't want to be here. Right? And they, maybe they both feel that way already. And they don't neither want to be here when Embiid comes back. And now you're forced to move both or something along those lines. Maybe you hopefully get Ben Simmons in the draft to take, you know, try to take some of that away. You don't have to necessarily worry about that, the big hit. But you're right. You're absolutely right. Knowing that it's going on. I mean, you can look at it when they're Nerlens Noel does look a lot better when Jahlil Okafor is not on the floor.
It's 100%
true. Agreed. Yeah, we all agree
on
that.
Everyone knows it.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. You're exactly right. If it comes down to it, and they're both sitting there with the 29 games remaining in the season, and you're saying the whole future lies on what Joel Embiid gives when he comes back, of course it's going to be a little unsettling. You don't know. You don't know. But all you can do is go out and perform the way you feel like you're capable of doing and see what happens after that. You don't know.
It's a really unique thing in Philadelphia sports history.
It's so weird.
It is very weird.
But the unlucky part.
But it's also exciting. But it's also scary.
It's not exciting until June. Or it's really not exciting until May.
Well, I agree with that.
When the lottery comes
back. No, I agree with that.
Because now we're...
But the projections exciting. Hey, if this happens and this happens. I mean...
Yeah, because you want to say, hey, the Sixers are going to get 1-4.
Yeah.
The Miami Heat are going to stumble and get 11.
It's because of Sam Bradford. It's because it's middle of the road. I don't want middle of the road in life. I want my teams to be great. I liked when Doc was on the Sixers. I liked when Allen was on the Sixers. I wasn't old enough for Wilt, but I'm sure it was a hell of fun. A lot of fun. It's Wilt Chamberlain.
That's why
I want great players on the teams I love.
That's why you get mad at a lot of things Larry Brown did, because you had a great player, but you can never really find the one great player or compliment to go with him.
But 0-1 was fun.
0-1 was great.
0-1 was...
We all remember 10-0. Yep. 41-14 at the trade deadline. Yep. We all remember. These are weird numbers that...
Yep.
Why do you remember? Because it was great. It was a great time.
Where's my coach?
Where's my coach?
Where's Coach Brown?
Exactly.
Jetta Cameron, Devon Givens back with more calls on the Fanatic.
Get ready. Join the Fanatic for the second annual Striking Out Cancer benefiting Penn Medicine's Abramson Cancer Center Saturday, February 20th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Fieldhouse on Filbert Street in Philadelphia. Tickets are $35 and include domestic drafts and light bites. Many of the Fanatic hosts and other VIPs will be on site, including Fox 29's Mike Jerick and Steve Morrison from the Preston and Steve Show. All guest bartending for your tips going to our charity. Go to 975thefanatic.com to purchase tickets and more info.
When it comes to fitness goals, taking the first step can be the hardest part. But at AFC Fitness, they've seen a lot of first steps taken. Over 23 years worth, in fact. To celebrate, all new members enjoy 30 days free. Visit AFCFitness.com for this special offer. With state-of-the-art equipment, tennis and basketball courts, indoor pools, and over 100 classes each week, your workout will be anything but routine. 5 locations in the Philadelphia region. Find the AFC Fitness Club near you. Visit AFCFitness.com to get your 30 days free and take your first step today.
This Sixers season, watch Jahlil Okafor and Nerlens Noel lead the revolution. Before tip-off, preview the matchup with Sixers pregame live. Then, watch exciting Sixers action with the broadcasting team of Mark, Ala, and Molly calling the action.
Count it!
After the final horn, get highlights, analysis, and team reactions on Sixers postgame live. Get total Sixers coverage on Comcast SportsNet, the Comcast Network, and see us at Philly.com.
Our next guest on today's show is Gus, the second most famous groundhog in Pennsylvania.
Thanks, Glenn.
How've you been?
Great. I feel like a new groundhog.
So, I've heard there's a new instant game from the Pennsylvania Lottery, Gus Bucks, with top prizes of 100 grand.
It's the most exciting game yet.
If my face was on it, I'd say that too. Thanks, Gus. And until next time, folks.
Keep on scratching.
The Pennsylvania Lottery. Players must be 18 or older. Please play responsibly. Benefits older Pennsylvanians every day.
Major Golf returns to Philadelphia this June. See the greatest names in golf, including Fred Couples, Bernhard Langer, John Daly, and Colin Montgomery tee it up at the Philadelphia Cricket Club June 7th through the 12th in the Constellation Senior Players Championship. This is your chance to get up close to golf's legends as they put it all on the line in this PGA Tour Champions major event. Tickets start at just $20 and kids get in free. Tickets and information at cspgolf.com.
Bundle up and visit Toyota's Let's Go Winter event for amazing deals on some of your favorite Toyota models, like the stylish new 2016 RAV4 with available all-wheel drive, the bold Camry, or Corolla with its advanced tech features. And every new Toyota comes with ToyotaCare, our no-cost maintenance plan with roadside assistance. Visit your local dealer or buyatoyota.com today. But hurry, the Toyota Let's Go Winter event ends soon. Toyota, let's go places.
Please see dealer for details and exclusions.
As an official orthopedic partner and hospital of the Philadelphia Eagles, Phillies, Flyers, and the 76ers, Rothman Institute of Jefferson knows what it takes to put together a winning team. Whether you're an athlete or a weekend warrior determined to regain your mobility, you'll find doctors and staff members at the top of their game. Because like all Philly teams, we put our heart and soul into everything we do. Count on our team of specialists at the Rothman Institute of Jefferson to help you get moving again. Go to riajeff.com to make an appointment and get back in the game.
Hi, I'm Robert Covington. I'm proud to be a partner with Independence Blue Cross Foundation's Healthy Futures in the fight against childhood obesity by encouraging kids to get active with the Fit 76 program. To be a professional athlete like me, proper diet, rest, and exercise is the key. 76 minutes of exercise will go a long way towards living a healthier lifestyle. Whether you play a sport like basketball or simply take a walk around the neighborhood, every minute counts. So get up, get out, and get fit with Fit 76 and Independence Blue Cross Healthy Future.
For more information, visit IBXFoundation.org.
Hey, I'm the old fridge that used to live in your kitchen. You upgraded and I got relegated to the basement. Totally insulting, by the way. My revenge? I'm wasting about $150 a year. So there.
Get rid of your old energy-guzzling refrigerator. At Pico, we'll pick it up and give you $50. Pico, we put our energy into helping you save energy and money. For eligibility and savings details, visit pico.com/smartideas or call 888-5-PICO-SAVE.
Home, home on the range, with a deer and the antelope play.
An Australian doing an American classic doesn't sound quite right, especially when it comes to beef on a classic American hamburger. Yet some fast food joints use frozen beef from as far away as Australia.
G'day, mate.
But Wendy's believes the juiciest hamburgers are made with fresh, never frozen beef raised in North America. Of course, Australia is good for many things. Lovely people, great barrier reefs, just not the beef on a deliciously different Dave's Double. 100% fresh North American beef available in contiguous United States and Canada.
A lot of work goes into bringing you Wendy's premium cod sandwich. We had to get in a boat like this, head up to the North Pacific in weather like this, so we could catch this. Oh, sorry. I'm holding up a picture of a wild caught North Pacific cod. Then we gave it a panko breading for a crunch that sounds like this, which will make you sound like this.
Delicious.
But hurry, it's only available for a limited time.
Limited time? I gotta get on this.
The deliciously light, crisp, and crunchy North Pacific cod sandwich, only from Wendy's. At participating Wendy's for a limited time.
All right, Jetta Cameron, Devon Givens. It is Sixers in 60 on the Fanatic, the day before the NBA trade deadline, which is tomorrow at 3 p.m. Obviously, we'll be talking a lot about it tonight, and sure, a big topic of conversation tomorrow on the station as well. Tomorrow, I remember last year at this time, on tomorrow was the day that they traded Michael Carter-Williams at the deadline, like right at the deadline, right before it, and word didn't even, it was so late, word didn't even come out till after the trade deadline. And that they had made the move. 610-632-0975. Devon, do you see a trade? Likely, unlikely, small trade, big trade? I mean, no one saw MCW last year coming. What do you see tomorrow?
No, and that was one thing that we did agree on, because we didn't think MCW was really worth keeping, and they got great value back.
Really good value.
Really good value back, and now he's even back on the trade.
And there's still some knuckleheads out there be like, oh, Sam Hinkie's an idiot. He traded the Rookie of the Year. Guys, he doesn't start.
No.
Michael Carter-Williams doesn't start for a team that stinks.
No. No. That was a good trade.
He is so mediocre. All right. I'm sorry. I had to just get that off my chest. Go ahead.
If anything happens, I think it will be something small. And it won't be on the level of Michael Carter-Williams. Maybe like a KJ McDaniels. And in that case, I would say Carl Landry, someone on final year of his deal. Even though the Sixers typically like to get that back and then release the player, in this case, with his $6.5 million, send him somewhere else because he can play for a championship contender, someone who's very good in pick and roll, pick and pop, and can just stretch the defense a little bit, knocking it down from the elbow. And you know, what Sam Hinkie likes to get. We don't know if it's Jerry Colangelo or not, so I guess we'll know. And the only thing really that Carl Landry will bring back is a second-round pick. So if that's the only thing that I really see that could possibly happen.
You know what hurts the Sixers, and we've seen this coming for about a year since the news came out last year, but it definitely more and more you get the sense that it does hurt the Sixers is the salary cap going up.
Yes.
Because the type of moves the Sixers were able to make in previous years, gobbling up contracts that they would get a first or a second round pick back for instance, when they took on, who was the big center last year they took on?
Last year, JaVale McGee.
Yeah, JaVale McGee. And they got the number one pick from, what, Oklahoma City in that trade? You know, teams are not as incentivized to make those type of trades this year with the 76ers because the cap's going up so much next year. There's not as much urgency for teams to dump salaries. It's not to say it's not still a factor, but it's certainly less of a factor than it was in past years.
Because they know they'll have that extra room
to
do what they want to do. They don't need to clear that space. And yeah, so I don't see much of that happening. And we'll reference a tweet by Keith Pompey, of course, who writes for the Philadelphia Inquirer, where he says just about 2 hours ago that it appears the Sixers still want assets. NBA source says team interested in taking in bad contracts so they can also receive draft picks. So, who is that? Sam Hinkie? Is that Jerry Colangelo?
That's a Hinkie thought.
We don't know, but that is something that Sam Hinkie has done over the past few trade deadlines.
Look, with 29 games to go in this process, I just hope they see this stage of it through. I think there's 29 games left of it. Do it. Suck it up, deal with it, lose for 29 more, and start building the team up next year.
And I agree. As much as I have not been on board with it, at this point, with 29 games remaining, this is what you have to do. You're absolutely right. You have to just be the Sixers. Be bad.
Let's go to the phones. Ike, Southwest Philly. Ike, what's going on, dude?
What's up, y'all? What's going on?
Yo, what's up, Ike?
And I got going one thing, man. I usually agree with you, Devon.
I know.
but tonight, I got to say something I disagree with you about. When you said about Hinkie, do you got, like, faith in him? I actually think I do to a certain degree. Because here's the thing. I can't think of a bad trade he really made yet. You know what I'm saying? I think that he put us in a position that when the time comes, like, and I think it's this year, and I hope it's this year, can't go through it next year either, that we can make a big, big splash because we got so much versatility with the guy coming from overseas that maybe people like. We got two big men that somebody might want. We got many draft picks. We got cap room, which, of course, it got a little minimized because of the cap going up. But we got versatility to do something and bringing in Jerry Colangelo. What if what they said was really true? That he's there to, like, be the figurehead, but definitely had power, but, you know, to help out the situation. You know what I'm saying? I think Hinkie done an okay job. Like, look at this. He got even gems, like, I ain't going to say gem, but I like the guy with Rashawn Holmes. Mm-hmm. If we get rid of one of our big men, I think he's a real good third big man, one first person off the bench to be our backup. You know what I'm saying? I got a little bit of confidence in them, and I think this could be a nice little marriage if they keep it together, man. I just hope they're patient this year and wait for the summertime to make their move.
Yeah, and the only thing, Ike, is always appreciate the call, is I'm not saying that Sam Hinkie has done everything wrong, but the fact that the way the plan has gone or the process has gone, it has not gone, let's say, according to plan, because now it's in year three. Your big prize has not hit the floor yet.
But isn't that the main reason?
That's the main reason.
I mean, I can't blame... Well, I can blame Sam
Hinkie. You can blame him for that.
You can, but I'm going to choose to say I still think it was the right pick.
And you can also... whether you like certain players or not that were drafted around the same time that you selected other players, you can also go to that. And why did you pick this particular one over...
Sure.
You know, Dario Saric, who may or may not come.
Well, the best example is Okafor or Porzingis.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the most debatable one. But let me ask you this question. It's last summer, and you know I wanted the Sixers to get lower-level, mid-level free agents. I talked about Lou Williams and Mike Dunleavy and all that. And all that was predicated on Joel Embiid playing and all that. Once you found out Embiid couldn't play and Saric isn't coming over, didn't Hinkie make the right decision, the best decision, by tanking again? As debatable as it was and still is, doesn't it set the Sixers up better to have a shot for Ben Simmons or Brandon Ingram than to have the eighth pick in the draft?
It does, But I think more so is the good trade that you talk about, the Sacramento Kings.
Sure.
That's something that's more important that
but
you feel like.
But independent of that, like you're Sam Hinkie and it's last June. So you don't have Embiid. You're not going to have Sarge.
Oh, let me
are
do
you,
it again.
Are you telling me you're going to say I'm going to go try to be the ninth worst team in basketball? Why? For what?
No, but you wouldn't have been the ninth worst team in basketball because the roster was still is what the roster is right now.
But they could have had players. They could have signed players.
Yeah, but there weren't many players that we talked about. Yes, there were a few, but were they going to be difference makers? You look at Lou Williams,
no,
as much as we like Lou Williams, the Lakers are, they stink.
They do stink.
So how much of that would it, I mean, he still would have had the cap space if you signed the right player. Now, maybe Lou Williams will work out with the Lakers when they start signing
Kobe.
People.
Yeah, well, sure.
Because they'll have a lot of money and Kobe's gone and now they start to build it up and Lou Williams can be the sixth man of the year again. Now, maybe that would have been the case with the Sixers had they signed on with Lou Williams or even went out and we talked about Jimmy Butler at the time because or Kawhi Leonard, were they worth the big money? It turns out it looks like they're worth that big money.
Of course they were.
Right. Yeah, but now
if I couldn't get them, I didn't want other guys.
No.
In the absence of Embiid, I wanted them to, and I said it, I want them to tank again.
No, you're absolutely right. There were not players worth spending all that money on. You're absolutely right. I agree with that.
But the crazy thing is, in the end, that bold vision might be what cost Hinkie power.
And why is that?
That's a loaded question. I mean, I guess because the league got annoyed and they started getting their nose into it and the Sixers bent to the influence of the league. Right.
And then you hear the rumors, of course, about the relationships around the league, how he's ruining them, and that's not going to necessarily help him in the long run.
And that's his fault.
Yeah.
He should not have done that.
No. There's a way to go, especially when you're doing something like this and slapping the whole league in the face and saying, this is how we're going to do it. Even though we're following the rules, we're going to slap you all in the face. None of your veterans agents are going to be able to come and play for me because we don't want you. We're not going to overpay you. So
not just overpay. We're not going to pay.
We're not going to pay
you
at
all. We'd rather lose than win.
Right. So now you're ruining that for when you do become good and we can't bring anybody in here. So there are things that he's done wrong. So when we talk about that with Ike and say there are not many things, but the things that he did wrong, they're glaring. They're glaring.
Well, he could have done some stuff differently, but to me it was still all rooted in losing four ping pong balls. And I think he's achieved his main objective.
But if you don't put together a winner, even though when it's all said and done, and we don't know.
Well, but that's all about the future.
Yeah, it's all about the future, and we don't know, and maybe he won't even get a chance to finish what he started. But if he doesn't get it right, then, hey, he didn't get it right, and now what is he going to be remembered for?
Well, it depends. Does he get to finish this out or not?
I don't think he will.
You don't think he will?
No. No, not as the top guy, not as the head guy, no.
Well, to me, that'll be awful.
It is what it is.
I don't like it. And you know I don't like it.
I know you don't. I know you don't.
Let's go to Cliff in Northeast Philly. Cliff, you're on the Fanatic.
Well, it depends on what you mean by finishing it out. I mean, I'm for Colangelo. Unless he brings in a major player tomorrow, then I'm against Colangelo.
Cliff, I don't want to see a big...
cost us the most ping pong balls.
Right.
Then I'm definitely against. Before I get to another point on this, I'm very happy with one change in sports that I'd like to see permanent, and that's you two guys being on the air every night talking basketball. Let the rest of this station talk football.
Well, we love talking all about it. I mean, you know, look, you're very kind. But
thank you, Cliff.
I wish Devon was on more. I know he's on Saturday morning, but I wish he was on more. And I don't know Devon, you know. I'm not his brother or his, you know, closest friend. A couple things. I think the Sixers got lucky last year in the draft. First of all, was Porzingis, was he ever considered a top three pick before the draft?
Yeah, no, he was a legit top, you know, four or five prospect, and the Sixers obviously had to weigh him versus Okafor.
But there were three guys that were talked about, and we got
the
best of numbers.
Well, really, Russell.
That would have been a disaster.
Russell was the one that really catapulted himself into the top three. Where Porzingis, Towns, and Okafor were really the top three.
And Cliff, where Porzingis, and I admit this on my own accord, but I know it also is for many people, where Porzingis lacked. Being a part of the consciousness and conversation of many people, let's say here in America, myself included. And obviously I would talk about him, but I could never talk confidently about what he is or is not because, you know, we didn't get to see him play in America. And I can watch a clip on YouTube, but, you know, it's not fair for...
Yeah, but generally speaking, thinking, and I don't think most people had him in the conversation for the first three. And I'm really, I mean, seriously, I was happy before that that they got Okafor. I think Okafor probably should have been the number one pick in the draft, to be honest. And I'm for trading Okafor.
Well, I think that's what, yeah, I think there's a lot of, I think the jury's still out on that whole draft, except for the fact that Russell's not looking good. Appreciate the call, Cliff, but I think there's still some very debatable elements there. But no, Porzingis was an extremely legitimate prospect. But again, there's people like me, and I don't hide from this. I mean, I'm not ashamed of it. When the guy's, you know, half a world away and you don't get to see his games, it's not like I'm going to be able to talk confidently about what he is or isn't. It is what it is.
And the same thing is going to happen this year with Bender, the kid Bender. We don't know. You asked me about him the other night. I don't know yet. I'll find out, but I don't know yet.
And Moutier in China. I mean, what am I supposed to do?
But that was a little easier because he was here.
Yeah, a little bit.
Little sample size. You had a little tape from him from high school. But.
Sorry, I didn't watch Moutier play in China in person. Sorry about that.
Well, you should have watched him in the Nike Hoop Summit, all right? That's what you should have watched.
All right. We'll continue the conversation. Sixers conversation rolls on. Keep it here. More next on The Fanatic.